We're going to read from the book of Psalms, and we're turning to number 57, the Psalm number 57. This psalm begins with the cry of the penitent sinner, reminding us of the publican in the temple who prayed, "Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner." Verse 1, Psalm 57, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me. Into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth." Amen. And God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. We're turning to the Psalm number 57. And the subject of our message tonight is when prayer turns to praise. When prayer turns to praise. And we're going first of all to seek God's help at the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the God who hears and answers prayer. Lord, we pray that the time will come when the supplications and cries and prayers of thy people will be turned to praise. And O God, we pray that tonight we will have cause to praise thee, because prayer has been answered, souls have been saved, and backsliders have been restored. O gracious God, help men and young people tonight to pray the sinner's prayer, to seek help from thee, and to cry, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Heavenly Father, help us now in the preaching of the word. Grant, O God, the pouring out of thy Spirit, and may all that we say and all that we do redound to the praise of thy glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular psalm, number 57, begins with David praying to God for mercy, and it ends with David praising God for his mercy. If you look at verse 1, David prays, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." And if you look at verse 7, it ends with David praising God. He says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." It is as if the psalmist asks God for mercy, and he needs that mercy, and God gives that mercy, and the psalmist then praises God for the mercy he has received. And that's always a good thing for any of us to do. We're constantly asking God for mercy, for help. And it's good when we receive that mercy and we're granted his help to return thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. David is a good example of this. And the Psalms are full of this practice. And God's people today could learn a lot from the psalmist. The psalm title, if you have a Bible with psalm titles above it, it tells us that David wrote these words when he fled from Saul in the cave. That's the time when David wrote this psalm. Some commentators believe that this refers to 1 Samuel chapter 24, when David found himself in a cave with King Saul. You remember the incident in Adullam? Having opportunity then to kill the king, as advised by Joab and by others, David chose rather to cut a piece out of Saul's garment, letting him know that David was near, so that when Saul would awaken, he would discover the missing piece and wonder who did this. A reminder that instead of working evil for evil, David was minded to work good for evil. And instead of killing Saul when he had the opportunity, he just cut a piece out of his garment. The title of the psalm also, you will notice, includes the word Altesketh, which simply means destroy not. Destroy not. However tempting it was for David to destroy Saul, the very heading of the psalm denotes that David overcame the temptation. And the words destroy not prevailed, and David spared Saul. That's the meaning of the word. And the Lord would deal with Saul. The Lord would bring down Saul. The Lord would cause Saul's end. And David knew that. And we know that's the case with the wicked. We see the wicked great in power today. And we pray that the Lord would deal with them. It's not up to us to deal with them after that kind. But like David, we commit them to the Lord as he committed Saul to the Lord. And the Lord brought Saul down from his high horse, and in Ignome he met his death. The Lord had the last word. That's how David saw it. And that's what David would teach us, how to deal and handle wicked men. The Lord would bring Saul's reign to an end. And while David did not destroy Saul, neither did Saul destroy David. Saul would have destroyed David over and over again. He even tried throwing darts at him. The arrow was aimed at him, but he missed. And while Saul could not destroy David, the Lord would see to it, the one who destroyed Saul and brought him down from his reign, the same Lord would see to it that David was exalted to the throne and would take over and be in command in the land of Israel. And that's exactly what happened. And the psalm is very worthily entitled, "Destroy Not." It reminds us that whatever difficulties and whatever dangers we may ever face, no matter what hardships or experiences that are before us, we are in the Lord's hands. We're in God's hand, and we're each immortal until our work is done. And thank God this evening, this Sabbath evening, our times are in God's hand. Your times and my times. Let us not therefore panic. Let us not therefore be over anxious. But let's cast all our care upon the Lord, because He careth for us. There are three things in this psalm, and we'll have to hurry. Speaking about mercy, mercy is experienced in the past. Mercy is also expected in the future. And furthermore, mercy is to be enjoyed in the present. So the past, the future, and the present are covered, taken care of. Our God is merciful. He has your life in His hands. He has your plans before Him. And your times are in His hand, your past, your future, and your present. When we look back to God's dealings in the past, we see nothing but mercy. Nothing but mercy. A lot of people would not recognize that. The worldling, the ungodly, the wicked will not recognize God's mercy in the past, even in their own wicked lives. The fact that God has spared them, that God has been long-suffering towards them, showing mercy towards them, they'll not recognize it. And yet, that's the case. And thinking about the whole of human history, the most significant event is surely Christ's first coming into this world. God showing mercy in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save men from their sins. And when we think about that, consider the mercy of God in the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. We see God's mercy in Christ's life. Christ lived a perfect life. He lived a holy life. He lived a perfect life where we have all failed. Christ lived for us. He lived for you and me that perfect life, so that he became the perfect sacrifice for our sins, without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle. He died the just one for the unjust. What a wonderful Savior he really is. In Christ's death, we see also the mercy of God, not only in his incarnation, in his perfect living, a holy life, but in his death. It was a substitutionary death. We deserve to die. Christ died for us, showing mercy towards us, in that he laid down his life on the tree for us. And in his resurrection, we see mercy. May we follow the hand of God's mercy right through the history of Jesus Christ. He's alive forevermore. He gives that everlasting life to those who trust him, who believe in him. And as he has risen, so we will rise also. And because he lives, we shall live also. Oh, the mercy of God, traced in the hand of mercy, right down through all the history that is past, thinking about our own individual histories and lives, even as Christians tonight, those of us who are born again, surely the most significant event was our conversion to Christ. The day or the night of our salvation, the mercy of God in salvation. You see, the Bible says it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Do you remember the time of your conversion? And you trace the hand of God's mercy in your life? All that led up to it? The very event of conversion itself? And you thank God tonight for his abundant mercy. Have mercy. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. Be merciful unto me, cried the psalmist. We see God's mercy in all that we've been saved from. Think of your past life, your sin, saved from sin. Think of eternal death. We're saved from everlasting death. Think of judgment, saved from judgment. Think of hell, saved from hell. Praise God for mercy. Little wonder the psalmist rejoiced in the mercy of God and cried to have that mercy shown to him. Oh sinner, you need to cry to this God for mercy. You can trace it in your life past already, even though you're not saved, because it's by God's mercy you're still alive. It's by God's mercy you're hearing the word. It's by God's mercy the day of grace is still open to you. Don't despise it. Receive it and believe it. Believe it. Thank God we can trace the mercy of God in the future that lies before us. We have been saved not only from sin and death and hell, but we're saved to righteousness, holy living, as we were meditating this morning. We're saved to life everlasting. We're saved to glory. We're saved for heaven. Thank God for the mercy of God that brings all these things into the believer's life. which becomes the experience of the trusting child of God. Are you a trusting child of God? Would you not want to have this mercy in your life and trust the Lord to save you? Thinking about our own testimony since our conversion, surely this same mercy that saved us has kept us and will continue to keep us until Jesus comes again. And that brings us to the second point. Not only do we have mercy experienced in the past, but mercy is expected in the future. It's expected in the future. We have to look ahead to God's promises for the future. Again, we see nothing but mercy. God's mercy. If we think about the whole of human history future, and we don't know what lies ahead, but thinking about the history of the human future, the most important event that is to come is the second coming of Christ. We have spoken about His first coming. That's the past mercy of God. Future mercy is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And what a day it's going to be. If we think about the whole of human history, then the most significant event has to be Christ's second coming. He who has come before shall come again. He'd not come as a babe to Bethlehem, but He comes as King upon the throne, King upon the clouds of glory. Consider God's mercy in our Lord's return, for He's coming to take His people home. He's coming to join Himself forevermore with the body of the redeemed. Oh, what a future in the mercy of God, in the love of God, in the goodness of God. Isn't it good to be saved, as Sam Houston would often have reminded us? It's good to be saved, good to be the Lord's, good to know that we belong to Him, that His mercy in the past has been a blessing to us. His mercy in the future will continue to be a blessing to us. And He will uphold us and He will keep us by His grace. Consider the mercy of God in our Savior's return. There may be a lot we don't know, and there is, concerning our Savior's return. There's a lot that the Scripture doesn't tell us about the Savior's coming again. But we do know that we're going to see Christ. We know that. That's a certainty. And by the mercy of God, one day we will see Him face to face. Face to face shall I behold Him. Far beyond the starry sky. And again, we are going to be like Him. That's also a certainty. And by the mercy of God, we're going to see Him and we're going to be like Him. And furthermore, we're going to be with Him. Oh, what mercy lies ahead. What streams of mercy. What fountains of mercy. Oh, there's mercy to swim in. Oh, thank God today there is abundant mercy with the Lord. Going to be with Him for the endless ages of eternity. The endless glory of heaven. Seeing Him, being like Him, being with Him. Oh, what more do we want to know? And as I said, there's much more that we don't know. And it'll all be revealed when we see Him, when we're made like Him, and when we're with Him. And what a day it will be, gloriously speaking. Are you looking forward to it? Will you be there? Are you ready for it? That's a challenge. Men and women, you need to prepare. It'll not just happen. It'll not just work out somehow. God has a plan of salvation. The Bible makes it plain that we must be born again. We must be saved. Your sins must be blotted out. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And unless, like the publican in the temple, you cry to God for mercy, you'll perish in your sin forevermore. Even if we don't live to see the coming of the Lord, even in death itself, there's mercy. Do you believe that? In death itself, there's mercy. Remember our Lord's words to the dying thief upon the cross. Remember that. Jesus said to that repenting man, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Words not just for the dying thief, words for us today as well. Even when we meet death, there's mercy. Its sting is gone. The mercy of God has taken away the sting of death. I was speaking to people recently, and they were talking about these things. And there was an expression of the fear of death. The psalmist knew that that sting would be removed. He says, "When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because the sting is removed. The Lord by His rod and staff will comfort me." Mercy of God. God's mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's even in the hour of death, right into eternity. God's merciful. And you'll find mercy each step along the road, and grace for every step. This is the God whom we preach. This is the Christ of our salvation. This is the man of Calvary. This is the one who suffered on the tree, who rose again, who's alive forevermore. He's coming. The mercy of God in the future. Jesus Christ is coming. And all His people will be attendant by rivers and oceans of mercy. How good is the God we adore. Our faithful and unchangeable friend. His love is as great as His power, and it knows neither measure nor end. Oh, what a God He really is. He has removed the very sting out of death for us. Thank God for all that He has wrought at Calvary. And then what about mercy in the present? Enjoyed here and now. The reminder of both past mercies experienced and future mercies to be expected. Reminding ourselves of these things ministers to us afresh the enjoyment of God's mercy right here and now in the present. to be reminded of God's mercy in the past and His continuing mercy in the future enables me to enjoy His mercy right now in this life. This night, this week, the days which lie ahead, this is our great theme. And God wants you to enjoy the riches of His grace and of His mercy. Tell me, as regards verse 7 here of this psalm, I ask you in closing, is your heart fixed? Fixed. Think of the word fixed. If something needs fixing, that denotes it is broken. It's broken. There's many a life broken by sin. There's many a heart broken by sin. And thank God, His mercy can fix it. Psalmist said, my heart is fixed. He's no longer tossed about here, there, and yonder. He's no longer popping up and down like the waves on the ocean in a storm. He's fixed. Maybe there's a child of God here and you need fixing. The church can't fix you. The preacher can't fix it for you. But thank God, He is here and He can fix it for you. Maybe you're tossed about with doubts and fears and the uncertainty of the future. The psalmist said, my heart is fixed in Thee, O Lord. My heart is fixed. Fixed in the Lord. And regardless of how hard the billows beat and how hard the storm winds blow, it's good to be fixed in Jehovah, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. And because we don't appreciate the mercy of God the way we should, we lack that perfect peace and rest. And we feel the heat of the battle. Let us therefore cast ourselves upon the Lord and let us trust Him whatever betide. Oh, there's darkness out there. There's disappointment out there. There's terrible temptations out there. But may we be like the psalmist. May our hearts be fixed in Thee, O Lord. And then our hearts will praise Him, turning the heart to joyfulness, to praise and to song, the victory of Jesus Christ in the life. Will you turn to Him tonight? Will you lean on Him tonight? Will you trust Him tonight? It's at such times we have strayed too far, haven't we, from the mercy of God. It is as we remind ourselves of mercy both experienced in the past, remind ourselves of mercy expected in the future, that we know now, even again, the experience of mercy enjoyed here in the present. That's our prayer for you in this congregation.